Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Good morning, everybody.
I was going to say, just do it.
I want to wait for the beat drop with that. You know, yeah. You got to. That's too long.
That's too long?
You got to wait.
All right, so...
At least a little bit.
We're just casually bashing Joe Calley on the board for his musical choices here today?
The beat dropped. I couldn't wait for the lyrics. I won't have that. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Drive safe this morning with
Please.
A little bit of the snow coming down. Our sister station, WBEN, will have you covered on all of the traffic updates and such. I don't think the snow is going to be continuing past noon today.
It shouldn't.
But, you know, the road's getting in this morning. Had to leave a little early, get up, defrost the car, all that fun jazz for winter.
Guys and gals out there, everyone, let's make some better decisions out there, okay?
just make good decisions
yes,
out there.
Yes, let's make some better decisions out there. I saw a person from the right turn lane over in Depew on my drive in today. Instead, turn left, cutting across two lanes of traffic.
That's good.
Let's not do that. Let's make better decisions today. Look out for everyone, and let's go Bills and Sabres. Sure.
With that being said, wasn't that bad driving in for me at least.
For me at least,
it was not that bad.
I saw some choices be made. They weren't good ones.
You did.
You were on the phone with me. I was calling through the car speaker. Never, like, don't ever have your phone in your hands in times like these either. Speaking of good decisions, there's your PSA. I got off my soapbox. This is the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. And we're here with you on a snowy Tuesday where
the Bills won.
The Bills, everyone won from Saturday on.
They did, and that's right. We had the Bandits open up their season 1-0. UB basketball's undefeated 8-0. The Sabres win. Josh Norris looked great, by the way, last night.
Sabres
the Bills win on Sunday. You know, we've had way worse Buffalo sports weekends, so I'll take this and I'll run with it. I said that on Sunday.
We don't talk about Friday.
No.
Actually, we will talk about Friday for one instance.
But I said it on Sunday when the Bills were playing of, you know, yes, I want the style points. Yes, I think for the most part their offense is very boring. And I don't know how sustainable it is based off of what I'm seeing around the rest of the NFL and then going on into, you know, next year and the years following. But they were down both their starting tackles. They're on the road, and they've been abysmal on the road. I'll take a 26-7 win over the Steelers. It's not great. It's not like the Steelers are this world-beating opponent. I'll be honest. I thought Sunday, for the most part, said more about Pittsburgh than it did about Buffalo. Now, we're in Buffalo, so we're going to make it about the Bills, and that's fine. But I think nationally, you saw far more from the Steelers in the negative sense than you saw positive from the Bills. It's not to say the Bills' performance wasn't great. Christian Benford had himself a day. The backup tackles both played admirably. James Cook had himself a day. But for the most part, I thought that was more Steelers being garbage. I think they are mediocrity incarnate. They're probably going to get around 9-10 wins because they always do. But does anyone, even in Pittsburgh,
do we think they're going to get to 10 wins?
It seems to be what they do. That's why I say it. It seems to be what they do, even when they don't really deserve it. I think even in Pittsburgh, especially with the Fire Tomlin chance, people in Pittsburgh are acknowledging that, like, they've run their course here. I don't know what the Steelers will do. They don't like to fire coaches. They like to let that run down, and the coach decides to leave. But I think they should really think about just cutting the cord here.
Yeah, they really need to do something. And it's not just Tomlin. Omar Khan is...
It's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the whole organization at this point. And obviously, ownership is not going to change. Art Rooney is going to be there. Art Rooney II, I should say. But the Rooney family is going to keep the Steelers forever and ever and ever. But man, management and coach really do just kick the can down the road every year. And they've done that since Ben Roethlisberger's final years. They've been just, okay, we're good enough.
Yeah, it's not his final year. You're right. It is that chunk of like 3-4 years of just like, no, we're fine. We're fine.
It's after the 2019 season where they collapse their way out of the playoffs despite, I think it was like a 95% chance of making it from the position they were in. They get swept by the AFC West, which outside of Kansas City was horrendous. And then the next thing you know, it's just been good enough to a point where you get beat down by Cleveland in the playoffs. You get embarrassed by little brother in the playoffs.
At home.
At home. And
they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Blake Bortles team. I think that was back in, that was 2017.
Yeah.
You know, that's the year the Bills break the drought, but that's also kind of the start of the end of any sort of respectable Steelers teams where, right. Where people genuinely fear them, I think. Yes. That's more what it is. Because they made the playoffs before, but in terms of genuine fear and the history of the Steelers and that playing a factor, that was sort of the beginning of the end. And like them even playing Renegade in the fourth quarter fell off.
It's
like,
kind
like
of,
they're getting beat down, and you're just like, oh, this is just sad.
It's kind of like how Orchard Park now has adopted Mr. Mm-hmm. Brightside in that sense, and it's like time and place sort of thing. And for the Steelers fans to be hearing it there, they were not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just this iteration of the Steelers now, it's so stale, and they're willing to keep it that way. They made waves by firing Matt Canada in season last year.
Because that was like the first time they'd either ever done it, or it was like the first time in like 40 years they'd fired a coordinator.
Sorry, two years ago. But their offensive coordinator was so bad, they had to do something. And it was the first time they did it in like 58 years or something. I'm making up the number, but it is actually
a very long time.
It is legitimately a long time, though. And watch me be right on that number exactly for some reason. But yeah, the Steelers are just this mediocrity defined that they're okay with being just good enough in the NFL. And you know what it did? It made me not worry, but definitely reflect on something. And it is more or less this. I better not see the Buffalo Bills start to get complacent over being constantly a playoff presence and a Super Bowl contender for years now that they can kind of just like rest on it and, you know, you take the wrong lessons from it, for example. No. Like, if the Bills make a deep playoff run being a wild card team this year, do not take the wrong lessons from it. Make sure to make the right changes as they are appropriate. Make sure that the roster does get fine-tuned a little bit more aggressively than in years past. I do also think you're going to have a little bit more cap flexibility to do that this year.
I hope.
Well, you hope, but also last year was tough. Last year was tough pickings on your cap space.
You're eating the Diggs dead cap money.
You're eating the Von Miller dead cap money.
So there's a lot. Samuel kind of becomes an albatross as well. I mean, you want him on the roster. He just has not been able to be on the roster.
And now it is, you're probably going to get a little bit more of that cap relief where it's more or less, it can't be as bad as last year when the money was that tight.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they are able to get a little bit more aggressive this year. And we do see a little bit of a return to the big baller bean mantra.
That's
what I'm hoping for.
That PR, I guess, of him, or the image, that big baller image. I tweeted that out on Sunday, and I still stand by it. Like, it's nice that the Bills won. I still stand by all my criticisms. They're a very boring offense, the whole thing.
Right.
But that was one of them, too, with me, where the last few years have been really tough on that image of Bean.
Yes.
Of being the guy that's willing to make the aggressive move and is always in on everything and what have you. And whether that's right or wrong, some of the stuff just doesn't fall your way. Like, we are not privy to the inner workings of trades and stuff like that that go on within NFL front offices. We're really just not. But over the last few years, it's just it's been more just steady as she goes, and we're not going to make any big splashes. We're going to re-sign all of our guys, even if they're just okay. They're middling guys. They're not going to become star players. You know, I think you can make an honest argument, too, that the only big move the team has made on the offense is the Stephon Diggs trade 5 years ago in 2020. You can argue past that, the only big move they've made was the Von Miller signing. That's on the defense. You don't have to make big splashes to be successful in the NFL. I still think the best way to do it is just nail the draft. Get lucky and be good for two or three drafts in a row.
And then it'll allow you to be
probably good. You're probably going to be just fine.
But it also allows you to be a little bit more aggressive, because if you land star players on rookie contracts, you are able then to give yourself a little bit of more cap flexibility and then try to make a swing if you need to add to it. It is not required as a demand to fix the roster. It is now a compliment again.
Right.
Like Rasul Douglas.
Yeah. I mean, he was the perfect one of where it was a quick fix. He's going to help us out. He's not going to be anything crazy. If we sign him back, great. If we don't, we don't. He was perfect. Amari Cooper, though, the following year is much more of a, oh, no, we botched this.
We botched this and we need to fix it.
Yeah.
And Cooper's presence does allow for coverage to roll his way, but even he is not used and utilized properly to a point where his career fizzles out and he ultimately retires.
Yeah, he doesn't play for anybody else.
So it really is this interesting conversation, and I do want to make sure that, you know, I want to see them not do what the Steelers do, is effectively what it is, because there's that William and Mary connection with Tomlin and McDermott. The two of them couldn't be more opposite.
Like that, in all seriousness,
like
yes.
There's a school connection and a kinship between the two of them. Coaching styles could not be more opposite. Mike Tomlin hasn't met a situation that he would not punt. And then meanwhile, there's Sean McDermott saying, we're going to go for it. Even when the Steelers went for it, on fourth and one in a goal line situation, what do? Shotgun run.
Yeah. Because it kind of feels like they're not comfortable doing it.
Even when they're being aggressive, Tomlin is still safe. And thank goodness Mike Tomlin is not the coach of the Buffalo Bills, because the words cowardly would be constantly running through my mouth. And Sean McDermott is not that. I'm happy about that. I just want to make sure that this organization does take the right lessons from this year and go, no, we're not going to do this again. My confidence level, depending on the person within the Bills organization, is different. But I do think overall it will be there. All I get to do about it is talking to a microphone. It's not going to make any change. It's not going to make any difference. So when I say it, it's more on the hopes that my fear that I had about this goes away quickly. It is a small fear. It's not one that I'm really worried about. But it is one that I'm going to have to be looking over and seeing, okay, are they going to get complacent? Because, dear God, I hope not.
I think I'm a little more nervous than you are. I would argue the last 2 years have been kind of pointless.
Again, it's depending on the person, I have a differing answer.
Right. And for me, it falls much more on the GM and Brandon Bean. But when I say pointless, no, I love the playoff run they went on last year. The win over the Ravens was awesome. Going to the AFC Championship was great. I'm not denying any of that. But the everyone eats and wanting to try to build a team around, not really going for splash receivers, not really trying to add more weapons on the outside for Allen. And, you know, to get balance, you sacrifice the passing game to try to meet in the middle. I don't know what the thought process was there. That's my point. And I know Bulldog has talked about this a lot in the afternoon of it. You know, the everyone eats this last 2 years was the first great experiment of Josh Allen's career. I think for the most part, it's been a failure, mainly because you're seeing, oh, this is not going to work. This is not going to be the thing that gets it done. Can they win a Super Bowl? Sure. Eli Manning won a Super Bowl with the Maras in charge of the Giants and then being a wild card team. They can still win. But to your point, don't get complacent. Don't all of a sudden decide, because you maybe win a Super Bowl this year in an AFC that is ripe for the picking, and in a year with the league where there seems to be no one that is great, don't all of a sudden go, everything we did was perfect. You know, it was a little ugly at times, but everything we did was right because it has not been. You know, the extensions you've signed have been struggles at best. The defense is arguably better when Shaq Thompson is in and not Terrell Bernard.
Your offensive coordinator, I do wonder how much of the offensive, like the drafting approach as of late has been, because you think about it. The approach through the draft when it comes to the offense has changed philosophies within the new offensive coordinators. Ken Dorsey wants to run 12 personnel so much that they draft Dalton Kincaid. And now you are looking at a Joe Brady that goes with this everybody eats mantra because he's the one that propagates it to a point where the Bills are not investing within the position very heavily. Keon Coleman's taken, but that's then when the mantra is launched about everybody eats.
Mm-hmm.
So then you sink your teeth into it further because of the success that you had. And complaining about the position is one of the worst arguments you can have, to paraphrase there. But I wonder if the philosophies change within the offensive coordinators. And that brings me back to my still biggest problem with this team. Is it nice that they called the same plays over and over and over and over again? First of all, before I go in on Joe Brady, congrats on the on your daughter, newborn daughter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to make sure that the human element is thrown in there first and foremost. Congrats to Joe Brady. I do worry about, you know, the predictability still of this offense. I still do worry about it. Because, yeah, it worked against Pittsburgh. It didn't work against Houston.
That's the thing. I mean, when it works, it's really funny.
It worked against Dallas a couple years ago.
And it's cool. When it doesn't work and when there's no off-speed pitch, plan B, however you want to put it, it gets really frustrating. And you do start to wonder, like, where's the creativity in the offense? We've taken calls on that. I know everyone else on the station has taken calls on the lack of creativity with the Bills' offense. You know, we'll see. I still think there's a talent issue here. I don't think they're particularly talented with their wide receivers. And, you know, and
I think the mantra created by the offensive coordinator, though.
Right, sure, absolutely. I also do want to point out with this Pittsburgh win, hell of an effort by the offensive line. You're down both tackles.
The execution was beautiful.
And to be fair, I wasn't on air much last week because of Thanksgiving on Thursday and then a Black Friday game on Friday for the Sabres, but I wasn't feeling confident at all. Once Dawkins and Brown were out, I was like, the way they've been playing on the road, you lost both your tackles. Allen got sacked 8 times with those 2 tackles in. I don't love this. I'm not saying that I thought they were going to lose, but I'll be honest. I wasn't going into Sunday thinking we're going to be just fine. They're going to figure it out. I didn't really have that feeling. So it was nice to see in the second half they got it going. It did take, though, a fumble recovery for a touchdown and then the next drive a pick to really get them going.
It was the defense that kickstarts this game, not the offense. And that has been something since the Atlanta game that has been very commonplace with this Bills team, is the defense is the one that's really kickstarting it. Carolina. A.J. Epinesa returns, was it a fumble or an interception?
I think it was an interception. He returns it to the one. Yeah, it's still the one.
But the thing is that the defense has been doing this a lot lately, where they are the ones making the big plays of at least trying to keep you in games, or they're the ones shaping a win, even. So I do worry about the offense still. I worry about its consistency. I worry about its predictability. When T.J. Watt says, I've never seen a team call the same play so many times and execute it so well. First of all, that's your problem for not stopping the same play being called over and over again. Sorry, skill issue, Pittsburgh. Get better. You're the highest paid defense in the National Football League. You can't beat the same play call being called over and over again?
Isn't that great?
That tells you how pathetic their organization really has become. But now, I look at the other side. Yeah, it's positive that you're able to call the same plays over and over again. It's also diagnosable when teams watch film. When Pittsburgh's failing to execute and your offensive line is executing so well, but your diagnosis is not there. They're calling the same play. You are not recognizing it well enough that you can even cheat your way to getting success on the plays. But if other teams can properly recognize it through the film study and blow it up, look at the tunnel screen in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, the screen passes.
Yes.
Burn all of them. Burn all. They shouldn't be there. Burn all of them.
So.
Oh, man.
So there is a little bit of a worry that I want to see the future games the rest of this season play out with. Nate Geary and I were talking about this on the Overtime Show, and I'm going to lead this question into the break. 803-0550, the number to call as well to join in on this question. Are there certain teams you're more fearful of in the postseason than others, and how we will rank them? And that'll be up on the other side here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. This is WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number one rolling on here on a Tuesday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. Today's show, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
We got primetime players at 11, and I led into the break with a question. And it's one that really is racking my brain because Nate Geary and I had a really good conversation about this on the Overtime Show on Sunday. And it more or less became, who do you fear the most in these? What is the bad matchup for the Bills in the playoffs? Immediately, I turned to Denver. Because Denver has an incredible defense. Yeah, their offense is bleh. I've got Bo Nix throwing a pass right to a linebacker on Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Bo is really not helping my hole. Guys, I think Denver might be legit. He is not. He's got such a low ceiling. It feels like he's Mac Jones, but with an offensive coach. Where Jones was stuck with late career Bill Belichick, Nix has Sean Payton and wheels. He can move.
So Denver's still that team for me, more or less, because you've seen the blueprint with Houston and with Atlanta. You get a good defensive performance out there. Even a meh offense can do at least enough when the Bills are banged up. But I still don't even fault the defense necessarily for either of those games. Well, hang on. Atlanta's different. But the second half, that defense really does change itself.
Right. They give up, what, three?
3 points in that entire game after that. But they hemorrhaged yards and points in that first half and almost had disaster strike upon them on the last play of the first half.
Right at the end. Drake London. Love it.
But Denver's that. Denver's that type of team. Their defense is that type of unit where it is kind of scary. But then outside of that, ready? New England? The Bills needed to still turn the ball over 3 times, and they walked it off with a last-second field goal just so that they can get the win against Buffalo. So there might be high variance between the two teams here. Also, it's very hard to sweep a team. I don't think that happens, especially when you match up 3 different times.
Right.
The Chargers, the franchise that God forgot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll believe it when I see it because, oh, by the way, Justin Herbert has to have surgery.
Yeah, I don't. They're the 5 seed now.
They might be the team
let's check back in 2 weeks.
They might be the team that cedes a spot to Houston at the end of the day.
Guys, Herbert says he's playing, by the way.
That's concerning.
On Monday.
Ready?
They play Monday.
So the Chargers might run themselves into trouble with Herbert playing through injury. I do like their coach, Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is a very good coach. The Ravens, for example, current leaders in the AFC North, I don't trust John Harbaugh more than I could throw him, let alone his defensive coordinator in Zach Orr. Lamar Jackson is not known to be a playoff performer.
And he's having a bad year.
And he's having a bad year nonetheless. Derrick Henry looks more diminished than usual. Mm-hmm. Everyone's so worried about Derrick Henry this, Derrick Henry that when it comes to facing off with Bills Ravens matchup. Like, why is everyone so scared of Baltimore? I'm not scared of them in the slightest, which would be the year that they strike them down.
Right.
But
I got to say, sorry to butt in here.
No, this is a conversation we all should be having.
The Baltimore thing of not being scared. Derrick Henry, man. I get it. He's down a peg from where he has been. And what's the one game he performed in?
I know.
The Bills rushing defense. And guess what, though? Guess what? The Bills secondary is better. I'll give him that. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot better. They've really honed it in. The rushing defense is worse. I would say worse. Like, in all seriousness,
you're out with
You're out at Oliver. You're out Michael Hoyt. Yep. He's not coming back, so you don't have a chance. And Derrick Henry, you couldn't even stop Woody Marks.
But also, ready?
You're like
Sean Tucker.
Yes, like
But then what did they do? But what did they do in the playoffs? They adjusted their game plan, and the defense have all the faith in the world in about adjustments and game plan specifics.
I agree.
And in the postseason matchup between these two teams, they sold out.
But I will say,
and I mean sold out on the run.
The defensive adjustments come when you force them to throw the ball, and I don't trust this Bills offense as far as I can throw them to put points on the board and force them to throw the ball.
I do trust the Ravens defense to allow it.
Yeah, I mean, their defense could show up, though.
Their
defense, the Bills can't do more than run. I've seen so many people now say, this is the Bills' formula for winning a Super Bowl. Guys, they ran 51 times. What did New England do against the Bills? And we laughed at them couple of years ago. Yeah, the same thing!
Because of the win game,
it's the same thing! I just don't... We are in such a predicament, and I get it. It was a great game plan against Pittsburgh. I don't think that works against any of the players.
Yeah, so oddly enough, I don't even love the game plan against Pittsburgh. What I'm saying is, I don't fear Baltimore more or less because they are who they are and they continue to prove that. The Bills' biggest bugaboo is the 10th seed in the AFC right now.
And that's a team I think they match up really well with.
So
I know they keep losing to them in the playoffs. I would routinely take Kansas City over Baltimore.
Every one of these teams has questions. New England is one that I respect. Denver is one that I respect. Jacksonville is the greatest mystery to me in all of the land.
Yeah.
Their quarterback,
Trevor Lawrence, isn't good. They can't really run the ball. Brian Thomas having an interesting year, to say the least. I mean, the new
Travis
administration
out for the year
trades him. But yet they're 8-4. They beat Kansas City. And, not that long ago, it felt like Indianapolis was going to run away with that division.
Now that
is not the case at all. Indy's the 6th seed now, and Jacksonville's the 3.
When Jacksonville loses, they do it in spectacular fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Not much different than Buffalo, where it is incredibly frustrating. How'd you lose that game? Indianapolis is in a free fall, which then leads me to Houston. Houston at the 8th seed. They're one game back from Indianapolis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Annapolis, they have the head-to-head now. They've got a stellar division record, so they can win tiebreakers against Indianapolis. They have tiebreaker over Buffalo. There's a real problem there. And yet, they have a major question about offense. And is C.J. Stroud ever going to find form again? or are they going to rely on Davis Mills to actually run things through for them?
I thought for a minute there on Sunday, I thought they maybe looked better with Stroud. And as the game goes on, you're just like, no, there's nothing here.
Yeah, there's nothing
really there enough. But to that point, I look at the Bills kind of the same way. Like if James Cook doesn't get going, you kind of got to hope and pray that Allen finds his form. You know, they play a depleted defense like Tampa where Shavers is able to go off for a day. Where Shavers hasn't had a target in 2 weeks. You know, since his breakout game, he has not had another target. That's my biggest issue. I agree. I don't really fear anyone in the AFC, to be perfectly honest. It's a bad conference this
year. I
have
a different respect for different teams, and I will structure them as such.
But for the Bills play into that. The Bills have not been impressive really at all this year outside of, you know, fleeting moments. You know, the Carolina win 40-9 has actually turned out to be a pretty darn impressive win.
It looks like a really good win now.
You know, Baltimore coming back in the fourth quarter is impressive. Dominating Kansas City, the scoreboard looks close, but Buffalo really handled them that entire game.
They had control of that game until like all the way at the end where Prater misses a field goal and all of a sudden the Chiefs have the football back with a chance to tie.
But ultimately, in equal measure, they have the blowout against Miami, the dismantling against Houston. You know,
the baffling loss to Atlanta.
You know, and so that's the thing is I don't disagree with looking at the AFC and going, okay, who they can't get through? I mean, look at all of them. I don't disagree. My fear, though, is the Bills play into that. They're not particularly good on the road this year. They're after last night's result, they're playing on the road this year in the playoffs. Unless it all of a sudden becomes 5-7, Kansas City's 7, Bills at the 5, and it's the AFC Championship. They're not playing at home in the playoffs. And look, that it is what it is. They have not handled their business. We mentioned those games for a reason. But yeah, I mean, it is a gettable conference. I just, it's more based off of, I'm not seeing really an identity from the Bills this year that I think is sustainable. It's games like Pittsburgh where we're just going to run the same play and we're going to see what happens. It's games like Tampa where all of a sudden they're able to open it up. There is no consistency that they can find. And that's where I do, and I think about this almost trade a lot with Jalen Waddle, where I agree. I don't think one player makes a Super Bowl roster or makes a Super Bowl team. But if, you know, would adding a guy like a Jalen Waddle or a Brian Thomas Jr. or what have you, would that change enough? Would that offer enough on the Bills offense to take advantage of what is ultimately a bad AFC? I don't think you will get a Kansas City Chiefs team this poor again with a healthy Patrick Mahomes until the end of his career. Likewise with Baltimore, where they are just middling at best, and they're the four right now. That is not stopping them from losing. They continue
there's
to pick
two
up
matches
losses
to Pittsburgh,
and they've got another one with Cincinnati. So there's no stopping them either from picking up these losses. They are playing a part in this as well. I just don't think this keeps going. And hell, Burrow. I mean, yeah, he's had his issues staying healthy. Is he going to miss 3 months again next year?
So when I look at this question, though, at the end of the day, it is not about the Bills themselves. It is survivability within the postseason field. What are the teams that I want to avoid? And I think for me it is Denver, then New England, and then Houston. The good news being, if things continue on the course that they are, you're both wild card teams. And the only way you face each other is a championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville needs to hold off Houston. Indianapolis needs to hold off Houston, because Houston as a 3 seed suddenly looks a lot more scary.
I don't even think Houston's all that good because of the offense, but
their defense is otherworldly.
I have no faith in Jacksonville, and Indy is just collapsing it on itself.
But I'm looking at it and I rank it as Denver in terms of likelihood, New England, Houston. Those are my 3 teams that I kind of want to avoid. New England, the third one, because they're really good at defending the run.
Yeah.
So, 803-0550, the number to call as we get connected with our fans, is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Will. Will, welcome into the Extra Point Show. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to thank we are truly lucky here in Western New York to have like a really good, knowledgeable, fair sports talk radio station. So I want to thank you guys for that. A quick ranking of currently who's in. I would probably start in going 5-1. It would probably be Jacksonville, San Diego, Indy, Baltimore, New England, and then Denver, simply because it would be on the road. That defense is not as scary as Houston's, but definitely top-tier notch. But the team I really honestly in the AFC that I fear most in the playoffs for the Bills are the Bills.
That is
no one takes bad timing penalties or stupid little mistakes here or there, turnovers, than the Bills. It is a down year for the top tier teams in the AFC, which is a shame that the Bills can't take advantage of this downtrend. But that's my thoughts on it. Hey, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And yeah, like it's to your point too of like the team you fear the most in the AFC playoff is the Bills. And that is a static throughout all of us. I just more or less wanted to do this exercise for the variation that is not the one that we talk about every single day.
Right.
I do want to look a little bit around the league on the perspective of this because of the fact that we all know the frustration that is the 2025 Buffalo Bills. Every one of us knows it almost intimately at this point.
Yeah, it's going to continue until the year ends. Even if they win a Super Bowl, it'll be one of those where by the end, you'll be like, I'm glad we won. This is amazing. But boy, that was a painful ride.
Oh, no.
It was an exhausting ride.
There is no but at
that
point. Let's go. This season is the wooden roller coaster. Believe me when I say that. If they win the Super Bowl, I don't think anyone cares about the back pain that you got from the wooden roller coaster.
No, I do think a lot of people are going to lie, though, about how they felt about the Bills.
Yes.
For me, though,
That's fair, but you're lying about it, 1,000%. Right. You're not saying that, oh, man, that season was rough. No, you're saying this is the best thing of all time.
Guys, I always had faith. Buddy, I have all of your text messages from the last few weeks. No, you didn't.
Never a doubt. Are you sure about that?
But I think for me, I still lean into the team I fear probably the most is Baltimore. I think the Bills have escaped against them. And it's the same with the Bills in Kansas City. Eventually, the Bills will beat Kansas City in the playoffs, so they keep playing. I think likewise, Baltimore will eventually not shoot themselves in the foot and get through. They are still a very talented team that likes to make things hard on themselves. After that, I'd probably go teams like Denver. I think that pass rush is amazing. I think they're still on pace for one of the best sack seasons as a team of all time. Guys like Nick Benito. I'm not saying they're a great team. They almost lost to Marcus Mariota at home. That's not good. But it's their defensive players that really shine for them. And then, you know, it's probably Indy with Jonathan Taylor. Just in the sheer fact of I don't really need Daniel Jones to do much because the Bills' run defense has shown.
And
I don't
their need opposing quarterbacks. Well.
Yeah, I don't need them to do too much. That's just the teams that are in it. Kansas City is obviously still going to be around there. They're out of it, though, at the current moment, as is Houston. So I don't want to say them necessarily. But like Jacksonville, the Chargers, even the Patriots. I think the Patriots, like you brought it up, at home, they had to have 3 turnovers. It was still close. I am curious about how that second matchup is going to go with New England being on the bye. And I think it's going to really change, I think, a lot of people's tunes, too, as well. If that game goes poorly for the Bills, if they drop both to the Patriots, I think a lot of people who maybe think they are a paper tiger, all of a sudden will be like, maybe they're legitimate. Because they did beat Tampa. They did beat Buffalo on the road. And, man, just watching last night, they can lean on teams. And the way May is throwing the ball, their deep passing attack, I mean, the throw and catch to Kyle Williams, there's only so many guys in the NFL that are doing that at that kind of level. And I'll always look at the quarterbacks. And May right now is playing like a top 5, top 10 quarterback. I think it's inarguable at this point. And it's not even his rookie year, so we can't even sit there and go, oh, it's, you know, ignorance is bliss. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He's just going out there playing. It's year 2. And he doesn't have world beaters at wide receiver. 803-0550, the number to call. We did mention primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll keep taking your calls. William, Steve, and anyone else will do that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got primetime players coming up in just about 10 minutes.
Hope you're driving safe out there, everyone. And thanks for everyone that's been listening so far.
By the way, we'll get to it more in hour 2, and we'll get to your calls here in just a moment. College football.
Oh, yeah. You've wanted to talk about this. We need to talk
about it. We're going to do it in hour 2 a little bit. The coaching search has been incredible. Lane Kiffin is just the perfect villain for college sports. I love everything about it. And in part, like it made going into Sunday kind of weird for me. Because of the off days, it was just kind of like, oh, Sunday's here. Oh, yeah, the Bills are playing. And I'm like, I just spent the last 48 hours locked into, like, Egg Bowl results, like Texas A&M,
also,
coaching searches, where's everyone going? And I'm like, oh, yeah, Bills, Pittsburgh. All right.
Kind of connected to it. It was a great weekend for a certain insult. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the air. But it was a great weekend for a certain insult.
Yeah, that Ole Miss podcaster, I mean, I've never seen a true 180 with fans being like, yeah, screw that guy. To like, actually, he's a hero. Pick him up.
He's a hero.
He's right.
He's careful. Man. He's a hero.
Careful, he's a hero. Just, oh, man. I
I'm not rooting for LSU and Lane Kiffin, but boy, college football will be worse the day he retires. A treat that keeps on giving, and college football needs to fix itself, namely the schedule.
What's up with him and Plains, by the way, in his sagas?
I know. It's so good.
The fact that it's more than one is brilliant.
It's so good. 803-05.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
50, the number to call. We did promise we'll get to your calls here. And first up is Steve on the line. Steve, how we doing?
Hey, guys. I was just chiming in on the Joe Brady and the offense talk.
Mm-hmm.
My comp for it is it really reminds me of Leslie Frazier defense, where they just kind of line up and do their thing, and then, you know, almost like telling the other team, like, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to do this.
Try and stop me.
And, you know, I'm sure you guys were, like, just all super grossed out in the first quarter of that Steelers game when they blew up the Shakir screen, which mm-hmm. is the, you know, why. But I was really happy to see him get the two running backs back there. I thought really that's what they were going to do for that Texans game. I was, you know, I told you guys I was at that game, and I was like, okay, you know, they're going to do the thing where they get in the eye, and they're going to have Davis and Johnson and Cook and kind of have it look like that Jets game from a while ago. And, you know, they obviously didn't do that, but I hope they lean on that, maybe replace that Shakir screen with, you know, some different stuff in the backfield with the two running backs, and, you know, give some different options and have Hawes involved.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for the call. That is something to bring up, too. Ray Davis finally had a good game for them.
Good for him.
He had a few pop runs for them. I think that's right, though, to point to, like, the Leslie Frazier defense. If we're just going to line up, stop us. Like, this is what we do. Houston Texans defense, like, that's kind of their thing, too. Is like, they're not going to do anything super exotic or anything. They're going to line up, man on man. We're more talented than you. Let's go. And in many aspects, the Houston Texans are more talented than you on defense. That, I think, is the Bills' offense, though, where, like, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. We might run the same play 7 or 8 times in a row. Can you stop it? When a team can, my issue is that I don't think the Bills have a plan B. I think it becomes we're just going to punch a brick wall either until our hand breaks or there's a crack in the wall. That's not sustainable. I think it also just may be what they have this year. I've gone up and down in the criticisms of Joe Brady. I think at this point it is a lot of it has to be on him. But I've also pointed to the talent issue with the wide receivers. However, there's really no reason a lot of these receivers that they're bringing in are good, okay guys in other places and are unusable in Buffalo. Elijah Moore is really the one I point to where why even make the Brandon Cooks signing? You had Cooks on your roster with Elijah Moore. You couldn't use him anyways. And Cooks, who, great, he made the first catch of the game for what, like 15 yards?
Yep.
Was he targeted again? I don't believe so. And if he was, it didn't matter. And so, like, that's my biggest issue with the offense. The whole thing is just, I don't think there is an off-speed pitch, a plan B. If the running game isn't working, they're going to try to make it work. And if it doesn't, well, we lost.
And that's why I started to theorize. Maybe the drafting is because of the offensive identity that was very outwardly spoken. By the way, no, Cooks was not targeted for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Why would you need to? You could keep running duo.
Well, it took to the second half to do that. That's yes. The thing is, like, the entire first half was a struggle to watch.
It was a struggle to watch, but then the second half was just keep running duo, and they did, and it worked, and it was cool, like, whatever. Fine, that's perfectly fair. But ready? Here's your telling story also about the offense and the off-speed pitch and not having a plan B, Zach. Khalil Shakir's targeted 4 times. He has 1 catch.
Yeah, and it's
that, and it's because they keep blowing up the tunnel screens.
Yeah.
Because they're now such a predicated thing in the offense and predictable because of how the formation lines up at this point, you take that chance. Why? Because Khalil Shakir is often not running routes down the field anymore.
No.
And it's a shame. So, hell, Shakir with the 5-yard catch, there were a couple drops in there for him as well, but one of them was on a slant. Again, short route. Let the man hit a little bit up the middle.
I'd like them to use him more like Amon-Ra. For the Lions.
Or a traditional slot receiver.
Or a traditional slot receiver.
Like you did last year.
Yeah. And yet, with all these complaints, they're top 10 in most offensive categories. So what do we know? 803-0550, the number to call. Primetime players coming up after this timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.